All right. So last week we worked on it was the we were Simon Reish Pei Aleph. So we discussed last week the topic of Sifrei Torah that were written by Minim, people that are not from or even non-Jews, what the status of that is. So there is a tshuva for Rav Moshe that we got started on last week, but sort of left, didn't get too far into it, about the topic is, and this is Simon, this is Yoredei Chelek Aleph, Simon Kufayin Beis, where the topic is B'davar Sifrei HaRishayim Missionaries Shiyesham Psukim Oshemos. I mean, what is the status of books for missionaries that have Psukim or Shemos in it? Now, I'll ask today somebody related to me an additional question, which maybe is not the same, but he said his father is a mason, like the club, not the profession, the... Right. And apparently he had some like Bibles and stuff that were written from them. So does that have any status? Now, I'm not sure the Freemasons is really an Avodah Zarah society.
There's a lot of Orthodox Jews in the Freemasons.
Right. So I don't think it's anything like that. But what is the status? I mean, is there any status of Kedusha to these types of books that were written that are the Bible, that are Tanakh? So what's there? So that's sort of, so as I go through this tshuva, see if there's any application to that. Now, Rav Moshe points out that when we talk about...
something you sent in the chat, maybe you can send it again.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so the starting point is the simon that we did last week, where it says that Sifrei Minim, that things that were written by Minim, that people that switched to other religions, so that Yisarif, it should be burnt. Now, why should it be burnt? So the assumption seems to be that, well, we'll see what the reason is. So the first paragraph, he talks about Sifrei Rishayim from missionary Asher Mafitzim Lahasis Ladiach V'Yisham Harbei Psukim Imaskaros. There are many psukim in these books. V'gam Shem Havaya Asher Nistapik Im Rishayim L'Sorfam, and also the Shem Havaya, meaning the Shem of Hashem, is there as well. So are we permitted to burn them? Because the Hamatfis Ulai Lonis Chavin L'Klum. Because the printer really didn't have in mind anything, right? Because who really is the one who's printing this? So it's not as opposed to the Gemara that's talking about a sofer printing it. Here it's a guy named Joe who works in the factory, right? Who has no idea what he's printing here, right? The same guy who prints the Art Scroll Gemaras is also printing the Johnny Kushner. The Harry Kushner guides, right? It's the same guy. So does it, and he has the same thing in mind when he's printing each book, and that is get this thing printed, right, and get it sold, and let me get paid, right? So what is so what then is that status? So etzem barer shaloni schavin l'klum, right? The matfis enu misha osa osios shalau ferish who kari masha kazev, right? The guy who's printing it, he's not the one who places the letters in place. The sham bechlal eno bedin shame shari nechtva osios behapach, and the guy who does put the things in place, who actually knows what's being printed because he's putting the types, he's typesetting it. Well, guess what? He types it, sets it backwards. Now I'm not sure what era this is. This is Topshin Ches. So we're talking 70 years ago. So I'm not sure if they were still typesetting back then or using...
Probably setting type, which was reverse.
Yeah, there was typesetting then.
Okay, they still were doing that. Okay. So... El mi shachosim aidei hamashin esa usios haoferes al gulionus v'hu eno korei v'eno yudea klal ma'nithzer. He has no idea what he's writing. Im kein hu kashem ha'nithzer shalo b'kavana shagam kein asu l'moko. So therefore, it's something that's written below kavana, and something written below kavana also is prohibited to erase. V'lachin ulai asus, maybe it should be prohibited to go and destroy the missionary books. Because it's not really, while the person who wrote it might have had in mind missionary activities, and he might be a min, he might be somebody who is has become Christian or some other religion. The person who's printing it doesn't have any kavana at all. So it says Rav Moshe, and he hits away at this, really, the rest of the tshuva. He says, V'anachon lefin niyaz daisi sherashayin listerofusam. No, we should burn them. Ima askar shevehen umameyle mechuyavim lasoskein mitam shevayr. Not only is it permissible to burn these things, we should go ahead and burn them. So why is that? So the Gemara itself talks about the idea of burning these types of things. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos was there. It's dealing, the context is what Sfarim one is allowed to save on Shabbos. Are you allowed to save Shabbos? Are you allowed to take your Sfarim out of the house, even though if the house is going to be burning down, taking the covers of the Sfarim out? So there Rabbi Shmuel said, there it describes that something that's written by a min, you would not be allowed to remove from the house. So the reason, he quotes from Rabbi Yishmael, Kavach Omer, Umal Lasso Shalom Ben Ish Leishto, Amar Torah Shemisha Nichla B'Ktusha Yimcha Al Hamayim Halal Lushem Atilim Kina Ve'eva V'tachus Ben Yisrael La'avim Shevashamayim Malachas Kama V'kama. Because if we're allowed to destroy Hashem's name for the purpose of Shalom Bayis, meaning in the context of the Sota, we permit the Torah tells us that we should erase a Megillah that has Hashem's name in it. So the purpose of that is for the purpose of Shalom Bayis. So certainly in order to protect the Avinu Sheva Shemayim, Hashem's name, how much more so we should be permitted to do that? Meaning we're increasing the Kavod Shemayim by burning this. So therefore it should be okay. And therefore these types of things that the missionaries put out, that these are specifically to create Kina and Eva and things like that, that certainly this Kavod Chomer that one should be able to burn them. And therefore, according to the Rif and the Rush, who quote this Rabbi Yishmael, he says, Davar Pasha, you should be able to burn it. But he says, Rambam and Rashi doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. There's two reasons that are given in that Gemara as to why you could have these things be destroyed. So one of them is the idea of Rabbi Yishmael. And what the Rambam says is the idea of Rabbi Shmuel based on this Kal v'Chomer from Sota. And then there's this other opinion where the Rambam records Kasav Atam Apikoros Yisrael Shekasav Sefer Torah Sorfen Oso Imaskaru Shabom Yifnei She'enon Mamim B'Kedushas Hashem V'Lekasu L'Shmo El Shu Mala B'Daitu Shezeh B'Shar Hadvarim V'Ho V'Daitu Kein Lo Niskadeh Hashem U'Mitzvah L'Sorfen K'dei She'lo L'Haniach Shem L'Apikorsim V'Lo L'Maaseihem. He says that there is no Kedusha that is imposed here, and therefore, because there is no Kedusha that is imposed here, so because Makadosh Hashem, it's a mitzvah to burn it in order not to give the apikorsim, in order not to give the heretics any airtime. So Moshe continues on and explains, says, well, wait a second. I thought we said that something written shalo lishma, meaning without any lishma, is prohibited to burn. So Moshe says, yeah, that must only be a din derabanan. Because the fact that the Torah, that we're told to go ahead and burn these things, even though it might not have, even though it might be the shame of Hashem written shelo lishma, so it must be that it's only a din d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to get rid of those types of things, and therefore under the circumstances when there is a toelis to doing so, so then we should go ahead and do so under this context. So that's the Shita of the Rambam, and then he takes on Rashi here. Rashi's on Ar Gemara, that's on the next page in the source sheet here. I don't have the source sheet. There. So on page 2 of the source sheet, at the top right corner, he says, Aval Rashi begitin sover de lo k'Rabbi Yishmael. He also doesn't sound like Rabbi Yishmael, and not like the Rambam either. He writes, Shekasav al hadamar av Nachman sefetor shekasvu min yisarif devadei l'shum akum kasvu. He says, because when he wrote it l'shem akum. He wrote it for the purpose of avodah zarah. What does that mean? So yin kein af benichlav stama shelo l'shem kavana kuvda didan ish l'chaora lasor. So therefore, in our situation where he wrote it without any kavana at all, so then it sounds like it would be usher. I mean, it sounds like the way, at least this initial reading that he's making, is that Rashi says that, oh, the reason why you're allowed to burn these things is because he didn't have in mind the Shem Hashem. He had in mind the Avodah Zarah when he wrote it. So, says Rav Moshe, in our case, where the guy who put it out didn't have anything in mind, so maybe you should not be allowed to burn it. He says, "V'gam afbiksav hamin ha missionary mamish biyado hayalon lasor." But he says, "But then, even if the missionary himself wrote it, it should still be aser." Dahim maminim gam sheish bori amiti. They believe that there's a true God. Ki adu mafurish betosos besanhedrin daf samach gimel sheovdim b'shituf. That they serve God, so to speak, with a partnership. Beim kein kishakosfin shem havayo matikim sukim michuvanim lahashem mamish v'lo anotsu yimachshemo. And not only that, but in this scenario, it's worse, because if a missionary prints something and quotes, Bereishis bara Elokim, es ha-shemayim ves ha-aretz, what does he have in mind when he writes the word Elokim? He has in mind the same God that we have in mind. He just thinks that, you know, and on the, several millennia later, he also created Jesus and made him, also a god or something like that, right? But he has the same assumptions about God that we do, suggests Rav Moshe, and therefore maybe it should be prohibited. But he says, no, aval hadachi gadol perish Rashi dekosiv hamin shem havaya l'shem akum. Hainu shakorias avodazara shalo b'shemu shator deminator neima shakoria avodazara shalo shenikris pohor. But Rav Moshe says, no, that's not really what Rashi means, right? Again, the straw man that he puts out is that when Rashi says that you're allowed to burn the Sefer Torah of a min, that's because when the min wrote the Shem Hashem, he really meant the name of Avodah Zarah. Says Rav Moshe, hold on a second. What name do we give Avodah Zarahs, right? Do we call Avodah Zarah Yudkei Vavkei? Right, no. We call Avodah Zarahs Pa'or. We call Avodah Zarahs Markulis. We call Avodah Zarahs Hinduism, whatever the Avodah Zarah is out there, we call them by their name. So simply because a min writes the shame of Hashem, right? And now you're going to tell me that he has that in the Gemara he had in mind really he's writing Hashem, but really he means Pa'or. Right? That doesn't make any sense. No, he means the Shem Hashem. He's writing it for the purpose of his God, meaning he's writing the Shem Hashem for the purpose of his God. So if there is an ulterior motive to it, so even though he's writing the same words and he's putting the same words in, it's still going to be it's still going to be considered a min, even though he understood what he was writing it. He was just writing it for an ulterior purpose. And if he's writing it for an ulterior purpose, so then that's still included in the rule that one is going to go ahead and burn it. And you take a look at the bottom of the paragraph underneath. He says, Od yesh tam lahatir, according to the Shach, Debisham Shabisham Shalom Nichtav Lakadusha Mutter Limchok Litzorech Tikun. That this we learned already, that if the shame was not written for with the right kavanos, if one's writing a Sefer Torah and you didn't write the right kavanos, so the Shach said you're allowed to erase it in order to rewrite it with the right names. The truth is, I'm not sure that was the Shach. Just want to make sure we got that right. Okay, the Shem Kodesh, they didn't write L'Shem Kedusha, you're allowed to erase it. L'tzorich tikun. Now, it's unclear whether the Shach was correct, but I'm allowed to, I mean, it sounds like you're allowed to rewrite erase the name of Hashem in order to rewrite it with the right kavanos. Right, so erasing Hashem's name for the purpose of tikkun is allowed. So says Rav Moshe, he says, well, ve'ein l'cha tikkun gadol mizeh. Right, what greater tikkun is it than getting rid of these missionary works? Right, that is no business being around. Mizeh shenichtavu l'tiflus ul'charif ul'gadev v'lchein af l'mashi isav piskei tshuva v'shem mishnas chachamim. And therefore, even according to what the piskei tshuva over there says, that it's the rak l'tzorich tikkun Hashem gufei mutter nami hazehu Tikkun Hashem Gufei Shelo Yeh Bevizayon Gadol Mizeh. Right? He says, even according to the Mishnah Chachamim, what did the Mishnah Chachamim say? He said, you're not allowed to erase an entire name in order to rewrite it L'Shema. What he said was, you're allowed to if you're supposed to write Aleph Lamed, and instead you wrote Eloheinu. So the Mishnah Chacham said, you're allowed to erase it because the act of erasing is the actual perfecting of the name. But if you're actually going to erase it and then rewrite it, he says that would be a problem. Rav Moshe says, still, in this case, it would be that would be allowed. And certainly also, Rav Moshe adds in, if the names are in English, it's certainly not going to be a problem. And therefore, Rav Moshe is very much in favor of getting rid of these missionary works. Even if they have the shame of Hashem, and even if they're written, even if they're written with the shame of Hashem in Hebrew and all those sorts of things, Rav Moshe says, get rid of them, burn them, get rid of them, even though they contain within them the shame of Hashem. Now, would that apply to this to the stone guy, to the to the um, to the stonemason fellow? I'm not sure. I not 100% sure. I would think so. I would think that there's no kedusha. Certainly, if it's entirely in English, I would think that that would be permissible. But I'm not totally sure. Stonemason.
The stonemason situations. What kind of?
Sounds like there's an English Bible that I don't know. Actually, I didn't ask if it was English or Hebrew. It sounds like it's an English Bible. What?
So what about Freemason?
Freemason, that's what I meant, yeah. Right. Okay.
You can visit their I think it's their temple downtown.
Yes.
Downtown.
Yes.
On Vine. Yeah, I've been there. We've been there. I mean, it's beautiful. They have some weird customs, but I don't know if it's a
Vodazara. No, I don't think we would assume it's a Vodazara. There is, it's directly across the street from City Hall. There's a legend about that, which we'll save for off the recording. having to do with the William Penn statue on the top of City Hall. We'll save that. That's the I think the end of the beginning of Reish Pei Aleph. So then we turn to Reish Pei Aleph Sif Gimel. So I think I put on here. Is it in the right order here? Yeah. So I put the pages of the Beis Yosef in the wrong order. So this we're on page 4, which is the end of the Sif, because that's where. Wait a second. Did I put the right? I think I still might have put the wrong page up. Sorry about that. No, I'm sorry. I go to page 5. I put them in the correct order, but we're going to start at the end. So page Reish Mem Beis, which is page 5 of the sources. So there, the Gemara, and it wasn't in the tour itself for some reason, but he quotes here that Beperek Hasholeach Tani Rav Hamnuna Bereid the Rava Mifashrunei Sefer Torah Tfilin Umezuzos Shekasvan Min Umasur Goy VeEved Isha VeKatan VeKusi VeYisrael Meshumad Psulim. All of them are going to be pasul. Sefer Torah Tfilin Mezuzos. Again, that was written by a min, a masur. What's a masur? A masur is somebody who hands over a Jew to the government.
Sorry, where are you?
Beis Yosef Gimel. So page 5, Reish Mem Beis, for those keeping score with their own books. So Eved Isha Vekatam Vekusiv Yisrael Meshumun, all of them are going to be apostles. Shneh Mar, Ukshartam, Uksavtem. That we have the term ukshartam, and we also have the term uksavtam. Kol she yeshnu b'kshira, yeshnu b'ksiva, kol she enu b'kshira, enu b'ksiva. That if you are included in the mitzvah of kshira, so then you would also be included in the mitzvah of kesiva. Right? So only those that are chayiv to put on tefillin, so only them have the mitzvah of kesiva, and therefore only them are the ones that are permitted to write all these stam. So yes, even though Dan Loeb raised the issue last week, that wait a second, an Isha is chayiv in a mezuzah. So nevertheless, she is not able to write a mezuzah. Based on this limud, that's just limud, that's just a rule. I actually came across through Googling Dov Linzer, who is the rabbi, the head of Chovevei Torah. So he has a tshuva where he actually is machmir that there is a girl who proposed that a woman should be able to be a sofer. And the truth is, we've had this svara before in other contexts. Because and her idea is that maybe it's true that a woman can't write a sefer Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah, but maybe she could still write a sefer Torah that will be read from. So he responds partly by saying, well, yeah, but that is a nice svara, but we don't actually pass in like like that, right? We require l'chafila, a sefer Torah that is fully kosher. So anyways, so women are not able to be sofrim for sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzos. So let's just... let's just continue with these rishonim here. V'chasuv harif v'arash behilchus tefillin, and also the Rambam writes v'chasuv haran kol hani hol v'leisnu b'kshira leisnu nami b'ksiva tefillinu mezuzos demishtoi behukra v'kol shekem b'sefer Torah da kaddish tvei minayim. That in that in those psukim where it says ukshatam lios ayadech ukshatam and uksaftam, so that's actually the parsha of tefillin and the parsha mezuzos. So certainly they're excluded, and a sefer Torah is considered to be on a higher madriga. So therefore, a sefer Torah as well. And he also adds in the chasavod deniru medivei Rambam v'Rashi de pisiluhu dahani midoraisahu, that this is actually dindoraisa v'achirim pirshu demaser v'Yisrael meshuman medina isnahu b'kshira el midurabanan kaimenter perek parak mi olav ol mitzvah afilu lo havi meshumud el mitzvah achas eshavik eteira v'achli yisura asu midivreihem ki'ilu enu b'kshira. Now what is he talking about there? So he says from the Rambam and Rashi, he learns this limud out as a din d'oraisa. However, he suggests, the Ran suggests, yeah, that it might really be only a din d'rabanan, because this idea that a meshumud, what are we saying? A meshumud is somebody who became, what's a good term? Somebody who left Judaism and became Christian, right? Well, an apostate, right? So I'm an apostate or a heretic or somebody like that. And we're all saying, well, he's not chayev in tefillin, so therefore he's not able to write. So says the Ran, hey, wait a second. Who says that he's not chayev in tefillin? He is chayev in tefillin, right? He's still Jewish, technically. He's just become an apostate. So therefore, the Ran suggests that maybe it's only a din d'rabanan that these things, that these are not allowed. Or you could perhaps just split the case and say that some of these are dine d'oraisa and some of them are dine d'rabanan. But anyways, all of them are included in the prohibition. Now, I added on to our page here, I think the next page, yes, is the Chidushe Rabbeinu Kraskas. Now, I haven't learned Gittin in a while inside, but if you get a standard edition, not a standard edition, if you get a standard edition of the Ritva, you're actually getting the Chidushe Rabbeinu Kraskas. If you get the Mosad Rav Kook Gittin, so it actually has two volumes, Aleph and Beis, right? And both of them are split. The first half is the Chidushim. Apparently, they found the Ritva later on. I didn't actually read the introduction to figure out what's what, but I think what happened is that for many centuries, they assumed the Rabbeinu Kraskas was actually the Ritva, and then they found the Ksavya, they found the original manuscript of the Ritva. So therefore, in the Mosad Rav Kook editions of the Ritva, they just put both in, right? So you get two for the price of one, although it's really not, because it ends up being two volumes, so I'm not sure it's really two for the price of one, but you get two Rishonim when you get the Mosad Rav Kook Ritva on Maseches Gittin. So he picks up on this a little bit on the right column. You see over there, he says v'afilu. He makes his point, right? Where I underlined, he says v'afilu isha dechayeves b'mezuzah ain ruuya l'ksiva. And even a woman who's chayev in mezuzah, still she can't write a mezuzah. She can't write it, right? Umide'ena b'ksiva tefillin u'mezuzah mishum dekadishe hu adin b'sefer Torah dekadishe tfei minayu. And because they're not able to write tefillin and mezuzahs, so too they're also not going to write. To write Sifrei Torah either. Now, in the footnote here, he quotes a little bit of a svara here. So, where I underlined it, he says, "Vinei Tosfos," a little bit above where I underlined, he says, "Vinei Tosfos Ridkan Hiksha Amash Am Dechol Sheinu Bekshir Inu Beksiva Vavagav Diishim Bechiyavs Bemezuzah Kedistan Beberachos Vechayv Bemezuzah V'Teiret." So he answered, "Kevin De Ena Rishayis Lichtov Torah Utfillin Ena Rishayis Lichtov Mezuzah Delo Gerua Ksivas Mezuzah Miksiva Sefer Torah Utfillin Bechol She Pasul Bezeh Pasul Bezeh." He just says that that's the rule. And that's just the rule. Fine. Okay, fine. So that's the rule. There's some issues about Rabin Thunder, but we'll leave that. Okay, so now we could turn to the Shulchan Aruch here. So Shulchan Aruch on page 7. Oh man, Mets aren't doing too well. It keeps popping up on my screen. So if we go to Resh Pei Aleph Siv Gimel, so the Shulchan Aruch there says the Sefer Torah Shekasvu, again a Masor or an Eved, an Isha, Katan, Kusi, Yisrael, Mumar, Psulim. So all of those people are going to be Pasul. So Okay, so all of those categories are going to be pasul. And the Taz adds in, plus we darshan out ukshartam ukshaftam al shesh bikshir yeshno biksiva. Now, there are a couple of interesting piskei tshuvos here. The long piskei tshuva, I think we're not going to do, not that relevant, but it has to do with a katan. Can we assume that the katan... a katan's not applicable. Does he need to be a gadol d'oraisa? So let's say a boy on his he turns 13 and he wants to write his own tefillin. So I don't know if he'll be able to. So on his 13th birthday, he sits down and he writes his very own parshios for tefillin. So would that be okay? So there's always a little bit of a suffix when it comes to a bar mitzvah boy that it's not just enough for him to have shanim, he also has to have simanim. He also has to have pubic hairs, too. So do we assume that a 13-year-old boy has it? So we generally don't rely on that for dinei d'oraisa. We're suspicious of relying on that for dinei d'oraisa. So, for example, if a boy has his bar mitzvah, parsha zachor, so in many shuls, the rabbi would require that the boy not lane parsha zachor, that he could lane the rest of the parsha, but not zachor, because that's considered d'oraisa. So he gets into that issue over here. Can we assume that he has it? Or let's say it's done already, b'di'evad, would we rely on it? So that's number 7 in the Piskei Tshuva, which is really long. Ches, he adds in here another interesting thing here, right? A Yisrael Mumar. So what is a Yisrael Mumar? So we said an apostate. Okay, so as we've alluded to, I'm not sure this week, but last week, we talked about the idea that there's a couple, not all Mumars are created equal, right? There's what we call a Mumar Lahachis and a Mumar L'Teyavon. What's the difference? So a Mumar Lahachis means that he hates Hashem, and he wants to fight against him. Meaning, I'm going to show God, I'm going to have this pork sandwich on Yom Kippur, and I'm going to show God that, etc. That's a mumar lahachas. A mumar l'teavon is a guy who has desires. Meaning, he has a yitzhara, and therefore he often sins in a certain area because he either likes the sin or he likes the money that could potentially come from the sin. Okay? So what's the case here? So the Piskei Tshuva here says, Ayin b'tshuvos Rabbi Kiva Eger Simen Samach Tes. Shenishal b'sofer shenisgala shezesh natayim yamim machar tfilin shahaya munach b'sochabatim chatichos klaf below parshios. That they realized that... Well, Jolie, see where we are?
Yeah. I heard the story once. Someone after many years, his tefillin were empty.
Well, I think it's happened more than once. Yes, but the sofer, it became discovered that this sofer apparently had written two pairs of tefillin a certain amount of time apart, and both of those pairs of tefillin, they opened it up and found that there were klaf in it, but there are no parshios written onto those klaf, meaning he tried stealing from them. Right, uviyamim shebeintayim, and in the period between those two pairs of tefillin, kasav shnei sifrei toros, he wrote two sifrei Torah. So ma dinam, what's the halacha about those sifrei Torah? I mean, do we assume that such a person is considered to be a mumar? In which case, the sifrei Torah that he wrote between these pairs of tefillin would therefore be a Sefer Torah, shenechtav al yidei mumar, right? A Sefer Torah that was written by an apostate-type person, right? And therefore should be pasul. So that's the question. What's the status of the Sefer Torah that this guy wrote while he was also selling tefillin that had no parshios inside? So v'kasav, so he writes that this is Rabbi Kiva Eger, that sofer hazeh nidon ka'over averis l'teyavon. Right, with this sofer, we're going to count him as a over averis l'teyavon, somebody who succumbed to Zitzahara. Why? Was why did he do this? Did he do this because he wanted to show God? He wanted to rebel? No, he did this to save money, right? The Asa Kain Laharvachas Mamon. He did this to make money, right? V'kasher l'ksiva Sefer Torah. So therefore, he's allowed to write a Sefer Torah, as it sounds like Habes Yosef Baruch Chaim Reish Shimon Lamech Tes. The Dafka Shekofer L'chol Torah Olahachis V'Davar Echad. That who's puzzled from writing these things? Somebody who is a Mumar L'chol Torah Kula. I mean, he denies everything, or he's a mumer lahachis in one thing. V'magin Avraham Hosef duad din b'kofer la'osu davar. Also, he's a kofer to that thing. She'enu lahachis v'lo l'teyavim, and not lahachis and neither l'teyavim. Meaning, he just denies a particular mitzvah. He's not going to be yotzi for that mitzvah. V'afta magin Avraham kasa b'siyim dvar b'shem hatosos dafu l'teyavim pasul. Even though the Magid Avraham quotes from the Tosfos that l'teyavim would be pasul. Kvar dachu hachronim dvarav. That other achronim have already pushed aside that statement of the Magen Avraham, the Me'atosfos Nomuchach Midi, that we can't actually see from that Tosfos what the din is. V'lachin menido didan a sefer Torah k'sherim. Right, so therefore, in our case, the sefer Torah should be kosher, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Right, v'lo chayshin and shema lo kasav lishma. And we're also not going to consider it as if a person didn't write lishma. The zed dummy laochel nevelos l'teyavon, right? The bodek sachin, that a person who eats nevelos l'teyavon, but he checked the knives, meaning the guy is an expert knife checker for shchita, but yet he also goes to McDonald's sometimes. So actually, we could still rely on him. Why? Right? Kevan deleika tircha lo shavik katera. Right, because he might really enjoy a McDonald's, a Big Mac every once in a while. But still, if we see him check the knives, he's not going to purposely mess up on the knives. He's not going to purposely tell you that something is kosher when it's really pasul. Umitamzeh hishig al Chuvashev Yaakov v'don b'pashut al sofer shemachak shemos hakadoshim b'yirios psulos. Shekasvel lehem megillos the heach yia lo nemanos shekidish haaskaros the leisa kevan shahayarak l'teyavon. Right, the guy who the don bepashal al sofer shemachak shem that the sofer that erased the shemos hakadoshim biyuria, he's still going to be.
Looks like he's erasing it maybe to write something else.
Right. Biurios psulos. Megillos. Tehiachi alo nemanus. How could he have nemanus for anything else? Meaning we caught him doing something else. How could he have nemanus? He says, no, that was only l'teyavon also. However, period. Meaning he might have been doing that in order to save money. I mean, he wrote the wrong name. You're not supposed to, instead of getting rid of the whole urea, which he was supposed to do, he erased the name of Hashem instead. So he also did that. That was considered something l'teyavon, and therefore is not going to be considered a total loss. He says, however, Rabbi Yigar backs up a little bit. He says, Amlam shuv pikvek bazeh, devishma shchita eno matzoi sheyitarmei shehaya vidarsa. He says, well, one second, however. He says, when it comes to shchita, we don't have to be so concerned when it comes to shchita, because, well, Lamaisa, what's going to happen? He's going to purposely mess up the shchita and not tell you? Right? It's not so often that a shochet actually messes up the shchita, right? That's not a thing that really happens. You have the technique works. He doesn't really have motivation to mess it up. But with a Sefer Torah, chazinan dechashem magiyim Sefer Torah mitzuyim harbe tiyus. He says, when it comes to a Sefer Torah, so often you have to correct a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of mistakes that come in a Sefer Torah when it's written. V'yesh lachush t'iratos. So we have to be concerned that there's going to be a mistake. V'nichtav chesin b'makum hein. For example, let's say he writes a ches instead of a hey. Right? Ayidei negia. Because the bottom, the leg of the hey, touches the top. So what do you have then? You have a ches. So what do you need to do then? So in order to get the ches, so what can I do? So I could just erase the connection. The problem is if I erase the connection, so then that's a problem of what we call choktuchos, which we've spoken about, right? That's a problem that you're creating a letter by erasing something, right? A letter has to be actively formed, not carved out. So really, if you have a hey that needs to a ches that needs to turn into a hey, you actually have to erase the entire letter and rewrite it, or at least erase a significant portion of the letter and rewrite it. So he's saying that takes a lot of effort, right? V'ulai lo ratz litruch. He doesn't want to put in so much work. V'gara hanegia upasul mishum chotuchos, right? And get rid of the connection, and then it's going to be puzzle according to chok tuchos. I'm skipping the parentheses, because of od, the period. So he says that could perhaps cause it to be a problem. However, because of od, the shnifla hachshir, then maybe there's a reason to be matirit, ima sofer kasav sefer Torah eula anshei a'ir sheshochim besochem. Now let's say this sofer wrote the sefer Torah for the city that he lives in, meaning he wrote the Sefer Torah. It's going to be used in Anatevka, right, in the town, right? And he's going to have to be Yotze with that Sefer Torah, right? If we would open this sofer who wrote the two, sold the tefillins without the parshios, if you open that sofer's tefillin, do you think you'd find parshios there? Presumably yes, right? So that's what Rekiv Yeager is saying. He's saying that if the guy, when it comes to someone else's mitzvah, so he shrugs his shoulders, says, ha, that guy, he's not going to be Yotzei Tefillin. Right? But for me, I want to be Yotzei the mitzvah. And if he's writing a Sefer Torah for his shul, so he wants it to be a kasher Sefer Torah. So therefore, he says, Eilan she'ir she'shochan b'sochan l'may d'kaim l'im mitzim m'kuf yutes e'beiz d'im chashud l'imkur misareach etzlova ochalimo imkim nil yudan, right? He's selling something that he's going to eat of, where more makel. Benudan similarly also that sofer lo ayah chashid she'enu munach tefillin rak chashid lahachshil achirim. Right, he's not concerned that we aren't choshishim that he's not putting on tefillin. We're only choshish that he is machshil others. But this sefer Torah is going to be for him as well. Even, and not just that he's going to be Yotzei and be in shul, but he might actually get aliyahs over that Sefer Torah. So, and he's going to make brachos on it, so therefore, and he's going to be Yotzei Zachor from it, so therefore, it's like the case of where he's eating with you, in which case you could be more mekel. Amnam ein ritzono lismoch al zeh mibli haskamos gedolei hamorim. I don't want to be somech on this without other people agreeing to it. Which is, always interesting when Rabbi Kiva Eger says, this is my opinion, but I only if other rabbis agree. Which, I'm not sure who's really disagreeing with Rabbi Kiva Eger on anything he says. But anyways, so that is that's just again. So what did he say? So in this case of the guy who is suspect because he sold tefillin that didn't have parshios in it, his sefer Torahs are still going to be acceptable because the assumption is he did that for money. And but this he wants to, but here he's going to be seen what it is, what the work is, and even though and it's not once he's writing it, it's not so hard to make it kosher. And even though there might be some corrections that might not be done correctly, still we could assume that he would do that right, especially because he's going to be in the city, especially if you assume that he's going to be in the city that it's going to be used. Now, I looked up this tshuvos, this Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the actual tshuvos. So if you go to the bottom page, I notice it's a little bit different than the way it's presented in the Pisrei Tshuva, in that he flips the two things together, right? That he wants to say, right? It sounds like the way the Pisrei Tshuva presents it is, he thinks that it's mutter. Then he says, but there might be a reason to say that it's usser because of all the work that needs to be put in. But then he says, but I have a sniff to say that it should be mutter because of this business that he wants to be yotze with it. However, in the actual tshuva, it's the order is flipped. Right? At the end of the tshuva, if you look at the paragraph Od Yesh Snif Gadol, that's where he says, I want to be matir, because many times he's going to be yotzei with it. And then the last paragraph is, however, we still have to be choshish. Because when it comes to shechita, we say that there's not really a concern he's going to mess up. But when it comes to a sefer Torah, so there's a lot of corrections that need to be made, and sometimes there needs to be a lot of work. And you actually need a Yiri Shemayim to make sure the sefer Torah is being printed correctly. And we actually do have to trust the sofer. It's not just enough to look at the finished product and assume that all was done okay. So then he concludes by saying, so therefore, says at the and at the end he says, six lines before the end, V'roi leidei ima sofer hu hochsak shol limso tuyos achar ksiva. So he says, first you should check, maybe this is a sofer that he actually, we trust him that he doesn't really find any mistakes after he wrote it, except for Zulas Tzrisu Hasvar Hanal Lechud, rather than just rely on the previous position. Here in the Gam Hu Tzarich LeSefer Torah Hu, because he also needs it. V'Davar Zeh Ani Rotza Lismoch Al Dati Levad Mibli Askamos Gedolei Hamorim. Ani Rotza. I don't want to rely on my own words, but I want to rely on others. So in the Tshuva itself, it seems like he's a little bit more Machmir. In the Tshuva itself, it seems like he's saying that. But there's a reason that really this would only be in the case of a Sofer that doesn't make any mistakes, which is a little hard to imagine. Because it's not just, you send it to the magia, you send it to the corrector, and he finds the mistakes, and you don't find any. Often the sofer himself is doing his own proofread. So if he does his own proofread and finds a problem, how do you know they didn't change the letters? So anyways, that is the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I may just do one more sif here. In the... on the top of that page in the Beis Yosef. It's actually the bottom of the bottom of page 4 going on to page 5. Right? So we did Gimel, which was the end of page 5. So on the top of on the bottom of page 4, he says that he quotes from Mordechai. See, there's two lines there. He says, "Kasam Mordechai v'so chilchus ketanos tani maseches sofrim ein rishai lichtov elim ken yudea likros," that you could only write if you know how to read. Okay, so that's halacha one. V'su also pasal hasam sefer Torah shekasfu ger o mamzer. He prohibits a sefer Torah that was written by a ger or a mamzer. Now, why in the world should that be? Why should we not accept a Sefer Torah of a ger or a mamzer? Now, I will tell you that in our edition, at least in the edition of Maseches Sofrim, that is found in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah in the classic of Vilna Shas, those words are not there. I forget it, actually. Certainly mamzer. Certainly, Mamzer is not there. I think Ger might not be there either. Just quickly, if we could find that. Ger is there, but Mamzer is not. So, I think there is some kind of a Girsa issue going on here as to whether that should be there or not. But, why in the world should that be a problem? So he says, Mishum de katani hasam zakla kol hamotzi asarabim yidei chovasam, right? Kosvo, mamzer, motzi rabim yidei chovasam. So I'm sorry, I skipped the line. And it says, Rabbeinu Simcha says that we don't include mamzer because it says there that what's the rule? The rule is if you can motzi others, and a mamzer could be yotzi others, right? He has nothing in terms of shmiras hamitzos that he's limited on. So ve'ini yodeya, right? Minayin lo shemotzi asarab midei chovasam. The miyahim maseches sofrim ikel melev she'ein motzi imidoraisa imidorabanan. He says, I don't really know where he got that from, that you could be motze the rabbi midei chovasam, because the maseches sofrim, it sounds like she'ein motzi. Whether doraisa doraban, it sounds like you can't. So it's unclear what that means, unclear what the correct girs is, what actually was trying to be written. But the Beis Yosef says, Vanira isi kasav, the hainu time of the mamzer. He says, I'll give you the reason why it's a problem. The mamzer pasal, kishiyagia lapasik lo yavo mamzer bakal Hashem, nechpaz ve'eno kosef askara lishma. He says, because when the mamzer gets up to the pasik lo yavo mamzer bakal Hashem, then a mamzer shouldn't come into the kehila, he'll, nechpaz. I don't know what's a good translation of nechpaz. He'll tremble or something. He'll what?
Tremble sounds good.
Right, something like that. And he won't write it lishma, or he won't write the name of Hashem lishma. And even if he says, "I know I had kavana," we could tell that he won't have kavana. And therefore, it's also the same reason by a ger, because it says also that a ger. Plus they say, what's it talking about there? It's really talking about a ger toshav, not a ger tzedek. The Gatayim Maseches Sofrim, Hainu ger toshav, she'ochel nevelos, v'kishiyavu lichsov, nevela, leger shebi sharecha, kim kadosh ata al Hashem elokecha, eino kosif askar lishma. He won't write the askar lishma. Now, it's unclear here. It's vague. Is it talking about a ger tzedek, or is it talking about a ger toshav? right? So that's unclear to me. Because the proof seems to be from a Ger Toshav, on the other, a Ger Tzedek, meaning a full-fledged Ger. On the other hand, the Pasuk is referring to a Ger Toshav, which is somebody who's not Jewish. I don't know, this whole thing seems to be somewhat corrupted. But anyways, that's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, it is, actually, it only quotes Mamzer in the Shulchan Aruch, probably because, the Ramah adds in. Sefer Torah shekasvu Mamzer, yesh poslim, v'hu adin ger toshav. And so too would be by a ger toshav. Of course, we don't really have ger toshav, zban as a, the Shach seems to back it up, because... And the Shach even suggests and says, well, if the whole concern is that he's not going to have the proper kavana when he's writing that pasuk about the mamzer, so I have a good solution. Why don't you just have somebody else write that pasuk about the mamzer, right? We don't trust him to have the right kavana when he writes that. So let someone else write it. Right? So the Shach says no, because the Mordechai really quotes the other reason, which is the other reason of that he's not chayiv in mitzvos in the same way. The problem is, what do you mean? He is chayiv in mitzvos in the same way. Like, what exactly is that distinction? So, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell. The Bi'ur HaGra here... he quotes in the name of Maseches Sofrim, which... Again, I don't know what the gears is that the Gra had it either, but the Gra, I guess, seems to be backing it up. So, I don't know. I find this hard to understand what the issue is, but it seems the bottom line is that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and we would assume that a mamzer is not permitted to write a Sefer Torah, but actually, it seems like a mamzer would be permitted to write tefillin and mezuzos. I mean, he could be a sofer, just not for Sefer Torah, but rather only for other things where the pasuk of Mamzer is not included, and where he is absolutely chayiv in. Meaning, he is absolutely chayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzos and the mitzvah of tefillin. So it seems like he would be able to be yotzei and write that and write those for other people. Okay. In an Emma LePost, right? So Sifhei is a sofer shows up later on. Instead of other people finding that he was writing Pasul Tefillin, he jumps in and says he was writing Sefer Torah. I mean, he sold the Sefer Torah for $40,000, and then a couple years later he says, by the way, I didn't have the right kavanos when I wrote that, and it's actually Pasul, right? So what then is the status of him? What's the status of the Sefer Torah? What's the status of the money? So that's a Sifhei. Mirza Hashem will save that for next week. Okay.